Well, we appreciate you all being here with us tonight, and we're still fellowshipping a little bit. And that's okay. It's perfectly fine. So thank you for tuning in and bringing us into your living room and your place of worship. Some of you, that's your prayer closet. Some of you, that's the place where you meet Jesus every day. And wherever it's at, we appreciate, and wherever you're at, watching this, we appreciate you being with us. Just thinking about now, and I may in the near future give you some statistics. I don't know if what is the word? Analytics. Some analytics on what God is doing through reaching people. Through the website and through social media, and we have two or three different forms in which we go out on, and the shorts, and Homer's got a couple in there, several hundred people watching those. But Harry sent me a recap, not a recap, but it was just a showing me the report, I guess that you might call it, and it was on all the analytics of who's watching, how often, how many other times they had been processed through other people's YouTube flow, and that's up to 8,000 and something. Just amazing. It's just amazing. And you'd be encouraged by it. I'll bring that out sometime and just read it for you, and all the people that God is reaching. And the average age that's really hitting on that is 25 to 35. So that's pretty cool. And you know what the number one thing that people are researching when they find us is the thing that pulls them in that they were already typed into or whatever is praying in tongues or tongues. And that's kind of, I think it was up to 40% of just the one praying in tongues or something. Most of the people overall in each segment of interest, the number one interest was praying in tongues. So that's pretty cool. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it's so neat to be able to look at those analytics and see what, you know, where the, and I told Harry when we got together on this a few months ago, I said, we're not interested in, and he's totally in agreement, in just broadcasting our seed and just seeing how popular that we can get, how many people will start watching us, but we really want to make ourselves available, known to people that are searching. And so that's great, because what we're seeing is the fruit of that, that people that are searching are finding us, which is great. And we've added some more subscribers, which is good. So, and it's not about our popularity or anything like that, or our exposure, but showing the kingdom of God and presenting the kingdom of God. I want to just bring to your attention, we're not going to go into these again. Welcome everybody that's watching, and you're not watching, you're participating. You're not just watching only, I should say, you're participating. It's good to have Rex and Marcia back. Isn't that great? Amen. Hallelujah. So the Lord is very, I'm so thankful. I don't want to boast or ever boast about His prophetic words and how often He speaks. We just want to receive it in humility and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming in here and speaking, and that we serve a living Lord. This is foundation. I'm lifting up the Word of God. Everything has to be judged by it. But then thank God for the prophetic, and thank God for a hearing ear. I'm so grateful. Oh, I'm so grateful to be able to hear and listen and hear Him speaking. It's one of the the greatest pleasures of my life is to be able to hear God and to hear the Holy Spirit and contribute it to long hours praying in tongues, of course. That two-tape series that Pastor Dave did many years ago, Distinguishing God's Voice. And then I think as much as that, the foundation for my hearing in the last 10 years came about by going over and over the face-to-face teachings, documents that God, the Holy Spirit, gave Gary Carpenter years ago, and the becoming acute to hearing and how to develop that and listen for that. And once I began to know where that voice came from exactly, then the rest is history by the grace of God. So hallelujah. That may stand as an advertisement for some of you. If you really want to increase your ability to hear the voice of the Lord, go listen to those face-to-face teachings. But the Lord has spoken several times, and we haven't gone over these prophecies, probably will not unless the Lord pulls them up. But they're on the back table, and when I say back table, over there next to the kitchen, they'll be put in the racks after tonight. But if you want to go by there and get these so you can read these are fresh prophecies that have come forth in the last few months. And I would suggest you get these prophecies. Of course, you can go to the website. All of you watching, they're all on the website. Sundays, is it on there yet? It probably should. Candy said it should be. But you can go to the website, and you can listen to these, or you can read them. But if you pick these up, and, you know, you just... They're good material to do your devotions with in the mornings or whenever you do your devotions. And so there's one from last Sunday, I Want You Restored for This Outpouring. Very, very powerful. This goes back even, this is April 23rd. This is prayer for families. This is... This was in the Dayton conference. I see that. But that was a prophetic prayer for families. Boy, that was very powerful. June 16th, very short, very powerful. One paragraph, Arise, Dry Bones, Arise. That's a good one. They're all good. And this is April 23rd. This is also this is Dayton conference. So I got three. So two of them we included. This is Forsake Not the Assembling. And we may have read part of or some of what we received at Dayton, but it's good to go over it again. This is May 19th, You're My Pleasure and Their Answer, their being the world, I suppose, without going into it again right now. So hallelujah, amen. Glory to God. If you have something to give tonight, thank you when you give at the door going out. Glory to God. Agree with me in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. By the way, you may not be interested, but I hope you're interested enough to pray and to vote in November, but tomorrow night is the first debate. Just pray. Pray. I don't know how much it'll have an effect on people. It's always slanted based on the liberal media. We have one man that I pray for that does not love America. He does not. And you've got another man that I would not call him, I would not term him a righteous man, but I would call him a man that does love America and does have... A sense of what we used to call, even concerning people that didn't know God, they have a fear of God. So just pray that all of them, you know, it doesn't matter for some people what either one of them say, but just pray that the undecideds see. They see that, and they see what the hearts are. And I'm not praying that one is destroyed in his presentation. I'm just pray that the reality of who they are, both in heart and in mentality, cognizant ability, because you ought to have a good cognizant ability if you're going to rule the most powerful, or what once was the most powerful nation in the world. I hope, pray that that can happen again. So let's pray for this service, and I may include a prayer here. Father, we worship you. We're living in troublesome times. We have no debt to pay in saying that we know revival is ours spiritually, whether with or without. But we know that, Lord, you do have an agenda, and I know by the word of God who you would want to win this election. So I pray that Lord, that you'll be in all of this, and that you'll work your work, and that, Father, that you will reveal the hearts, reveal everything that America, the undecideds, need to, and people that even would cross the aisle in their party. Father, we just pray tonight that you'll open up our spirits, our minds, to understand the day and hour that we live, and give ourselves over more for this purpose of outpouring, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I'm so spiritual, I'm not going to. One of a good friend of mine, that it took all of the good friend in me to remain a good friend a few years ago, when he said, "No, I didn't vote because there was nobody to vote for." And remember, if you can vote, if your voting privileges have never been taken away and you're old enough to vote, if you don't vote, you did vote. You voted. You voted for the opposition. So there is no such thing as I didn't vote. Hallelujah. Let's talk about judgment, mortification, and finishing well. Judgment, mortification, and finishing well. We've went over this portion of Scripture recently. Let's turn to it once again. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to talk about judgment for just a bit. And then I'm going to have Sarah play one of the recent prophecies that came forth. And we've gone over this prophecy where I've read it in the service. But I want you to hear it. It's 5 minutes long. It'll be part of what God wants to get over. And there's hearing it under the anointing that it was given is always, even to me, it's even something extra besides for even reading it. But right now, let's look at much of our theme tonight and what we're talking about in 1 Peter chapter 4 concerning judgment. And I'm talking to, you'll see what I'm talking about, okay? Verse 12, 1 Peter 4, 12. Those of you watching, hopefully you have your Bibles out or your smart device. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached, now this is a big part of what we're discussing tonight, so catch this, it's important for later. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But now this is very important, especially for our subject matter tonight. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. We could add a lot of things there, but he was just trying to cover as much as he could to give them the idea, don't suffer for unrighteousness, suffer for righteousness. In other words, if you're going to go to prison, or if you're going to be maligned or talked about, you'll be happy if you know in conscience you're there for the purpose of righteousness, and you're being maligned or hated for the purpose of standing up and teaching and preaching the gospel of truth with grace and with love. For the time will come, the time is come, that judgment, he said, judgment must. Did I do 16? Thank you. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, boy, better really get that verse in there. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. If you suffer as a Christian, if you suffer as a Christian, if you suffer as a Christian. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, and I've gone over that before and given you a word that I think is applicable that doesn't replace, I believe, the integrity of the Greek, but to think of it as critical or with criticism, in a godly criticism. In other words, if I said it like this, if God won't let you put up with it, or if God won't put up with it with you being the righteous, how much more will he not put up with? Because if the righteous scarcely be saved, and we've said this before, that doesn't mean you, when you're born again, it's a thin line. His blood's powerful. You are or you are not. And but continue to read this or read it once again. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that, here he reiterates, them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So the keeping of our souls. Now let's play that if we could. Listen to it. I'm just going to stand here. It's, I think, 4 or 5 minutes long. So this was the prophecy on judgment, and this was just given in this month. So, amen. Just like there's a great wave of my glory that is presently being released, and it'll catch you up in ways that you've not known or seen before in the past, says the Spirit of grace. For my glory is coming on my church. For the world has had little to look at by way of comparison to what I left, as in soundness of truth and of righteousness. But I'm beginning first, says the Spirit of grace, to bring judgment. Loving kindness and tender mercies will follow you in this judgment and even go before you. But I'm going before you with things that you've not seen before in the past. Just like you're looking for notable miracles, there'll be other things attached to this wave of my glory and of my presence. For things that the church has not seen for generations will once again be instituted, and even greater things, says the Spirit of grace. Yes, Mati. You'll see judgment begin at the house. And what the church thought was things that only happened in ancient times will come back to modern times. Ananias and Sapphira will be judged, and at times will be carried out of the church. That's where my judgment will begin, because a standard of my glory will come, and men will rise up in righteousness and holiness and exact that standard so that I can come and bring a great loving kindness and tender mercies type fear to my body. But know this, it'll transcend out of the church into the world. For even as the first church was judged inwardly, then I also was able to go into the world and bring judgment, says the Spirit of grace. You'll find that as I do this and as my presence comes with revival and greater glory, that I'll bring judgment even in the world, says the Spirit of the Lord. As Herod stood with his great orientation in the days of the apostles, in his pride and his arrogance, and would not give me glory, the word says, I sent my angel and I struck him, that he died in their presence. Know this, that you'll see, note this, not because this man of God says so, but because I say so. Mark it to see if it is true. You'll see men in high places that will pass suddenly because of my judgment, says the Spirit of the Lord, because they have not humbled themselves. This won't be to all, but at times you'll recognize and know that I came with a judgment. And once again, this judgment is coming out of the church. Yes, sir. As Paul was able to turn to the sorcerer that withstood the gospel, and the deputy or the people receiving the truth, as the evil man withstood with a great argument, and Paul spoke and said, for a season you'll be cursed with blindness. And for a season he did, because I came in judgment. I'm coming first, judgment in the church, but out of that you'll see that I'll judge the world as well. And those who withstand the gospel, judgment will come upon them, says the Spirit of grace, in these last days. But I'm asking you to stay laser focused. I'm asking you to go into a place where I can bring this great wave of my presence and my glory, says the Spirit of grace, so that in the days ahead, men may marvel. They'll marvel and cry out, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. Well, I just want to say a few things before I read some more notes here, is that as I'm listening to this, and the thing that how he said it, I'd have to go back and hear it again, but or read it. But that as it was in those days, that men they'll be carried out of the church. And I want to direct your attention to understand that that doesn't necessarily mean, I know the staunch example was death, and three examples there. All three of them were, two of them were the world, one was inside the church, and that was judgment, and that was death. But I want to kind of refocus your mind, holding that prophecy, but also keeping in effect or a thought process that it doesn't always have to be death. God's judgment a lot of times is exposure. And sometimes people don't understand the difference between a spiritual demonic attack on a person's life or a preacher's life versus a God judgment where God lifts his hand and says, okay, enough is enough. And when that happens, then exposure comes, and it's a judgment. And it's a judgment for the person, for the peoples, for the churches. And it's always a judgment for the better, even though it doesn't sound like it. National exposures, in which I'm going to give you about five in just a moment, and I'm not going to embarrass any of us by naming names. I could have probably been justified, because every one of the examples that I'm about to cite, and we're not going to stay long on those, we'll go right back into the Word, but every single one of them, you could have, if it's public knowledge, and I'm not talking about tabloids, I'm talking about numerous, I mean, if you Googled, we all know you can Google something now and you can get 15 different listings from 15 different publications. The reports are usually about the same. So if I'd have said names, it wouldn't have been out of turn in the sense that it's public. But I want to really be kind and in good taste. But you'll know by almost whatever I do say who I'm talking about, but just because of good taste, not mentioning names. But just like Paul's judgment in 1 Corinthians 5, where he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I've judged already. But Corinthians, because you should do it, you elders should have done this already. This is basically what he was saying. You elders should have done this already. I'm going to include you in on it. Well, what was that? A man had his father's wife, probably stepmother. They were living together. You know by the detail, you know, it doesn't spell it out, but you know, you can read. And he said, I have turned him over to the destruction of the flesh, but you can do this now when you come together. Turn him over to the destruction of the flesh that his soul might be saved in the Lord's day. In other words, this fornication, adultery that they were in was sending them to hell. But the other major thing was that it was a leaven that leavened the lump, the church. In fact, he writes over in 2 Corinthians when he talks about restoring such a one. So it worked. What he did worked. Restore such a one. But he said, I did what I did, not even for the main reason why, now I'm paraphrasing, the main reason why I did what I did and had you do what you did is not just because of the man and the, nor was it entirely, the main emphasis was not entirely for the one that had been offended or had suffered the offense. In other words, that was important, but the main thing is, he said, I wanted to see if you were going to be obedient and follow truth and not allow this leaven to leaven the whole church. Well, there, leaven has, it is no wonder. It is just absolutely no wonder. I mean, it's like a duh. When you look at the church at large, and especially, and I don't like to pick on them, but mega churches, in America, and the scandal after scandal after scandal after scandal. And what we're seeing here is, and I can tell you this, and I looked at this while I was kind of looking here at my notes at some of the examples I want to bring to relevance, that when that prophecy was given, I didn't, as far as I know, now if I think of it in a moment, I'll tell you I knew that about this one, but I wasn't conscious of any of these that I'm going to cite. In other words, they hadn't stirred me up, and I come in here thinking, you know, God's going to give a, I didn't even know about all these. I wasn't really conscious of them. I wasn't conscious, nor did I really know about them. So, and I don't have to try to validate my prophecies. I believe that you believe, and that you try them by the word of God and your spirit. But I'm just, it didn't come about by stuff I had been reading, had fed my mind. It's just, God is saying that he is bringing forth an execution of what Peter was talking about, that judgment must begin at the house of God. Why does it must begin at the house of God? Well, because the house of God, the church, is the standard. It's the standard. The world doesn't know God, and the only way they know God is looking at the church. And if they look at the church hitherto for and have seen the putrid, ugly, scandalous ongoings, they've said, I don't need Jesus because I'm just as good as they are. What I do, what they do, I do. What we do, you know, it's the same. It's a mix and match. It doesn't matter. We do the same things. They do the same things as that we do, is the best way to say it. So there's been no standard. And I know I'm throwing out a broad loop here, but it's really where most of the world is able to look at big names and judge and say, okay, this is the standard for Christianity. I don't want nothing to do. But look, here's how I know we're getting closer to outpouring, and that we're already in, oh, maybe, I hope we're up to boot level, ankle deep. We're getting closer, is because judgment is coming back to the house of God. And it's not necessarily, and I really, God knows, it doesn't excite me a bit to think that somebody's going to fall over dead in our church one day, or in any church. I hope that never happens because of judgment. But to know that men are being judged, and that doesn't, I'm not excited about that. Mercy rejoices against judgment, Scripture says. In other words, I don't take pleasure in that. But I do take pleasure in seeing that there is a powerful move of God to, just like Paul. Now, that was individual. But because of I'll tell you why it's happening. It's because of the prayers of saints that are serious with God and saying, God, we want this outpouring. Purge us. Send the fire of purging, so that you can come with your presence and with your glory and bring a great outpouring over the church and over the nation. Those prayers of intercession is causing God in this hour to say, okay, I waited 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years for some men to repent and get it all right. Now, in these few examples, you're going to note that much of the things that happened, I would say the worst of what is reported, had happened sometimes 20, 30, one example 40 years ago. But it's just come to light to where that it caused the expulsion of major ministries. So in that, there is a thought in me, a discerning in me, I believe, that says, had these men truly repented and truly sought God and done whatever they needed to do, there would not have been the necessity for exposure. But exposure is good. Hopefully they get it right. Maybe they already have. I want them to have a good life. They're out of the ministry. Their names, some of them have written over 100 books. Everybody in this auditorium would know who I'm talking about if I named the names. You just like, I mean, you can't be in Christendom, you know, a month and know most of these names. Or some of them, maybe not. But the purging has come. And the purging is here. And it's for the purpose of the outpouring. And it's not like these examples, they're not, oh, Satan's attacking these people. No, that's not the issue. It's a judgment. And the body of Christ is being judged so they can say, wait a minute, we've got to repent. We've got to repent. Now, like I said, I won't use names, but earlier this month, a black pastor in Dallas, Texas, that has over 10,000 members and appears on over 1,000 stations worldwide, resigned because of, he said, undisclosed. He didn't say why, a sin that he had committed. I'm not going to speculate because I don't know what that sin was. It, from what I read, and I read enough so I can report accurately, but I don't like to read because I don't, you know, I'll read enough and I'll say, okay, that's enough. But even his son, who's taken over the church, said, you know, when Dad told us, we didn't even know exactly, he didn't even tell us what it was. Maybe he has since. For an undisclosed sin from the past, and Dr. Pastor, you would know his name, has written over 100 books and has his own Bible with his Bible commentary. I saw that. And maybe he's done some wonderful works. He's more on the, I think, Baptist side of things, but very well known, very charismatic. Seen him in movies. Overall, liked him. But he has resigned at the age of 70 or 69. So that's one. Okay. Earlier this month, same month, another pastor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that pastors a mega church. I want to make sure as I'm reading here, because I copied and pasted some of this, and I don't want to make I want to make sure that I don't just read and their names there. They have over 100,000 members. 100,000 members. I think that's through satellite churches, but their main church is huge, you know. And I looked up their church, and they do believe. So if your mind goes to, well, these people probably don't speak in tongues. No, these people believe in the gifts and Holy Ghost, and so they believe. And he resigned because of, now this I'm not going to skirt, molestation of a 12-year-old. And that was... that was 34 years ago, but and he has actually stood in his pulpit and talked about a sexual relationship we had with another woman years ago, but a 12-year-old is not another woman. And it got to the point where she kept watching this, and she said, and it wasn't that he... It happened one time when he and his wife, when they were in their early 20s, when they would go on the road, they would visit this one pastor's house, and the 12-year-old was there, and this happened multiple times. There was no, can I say this, it never went to the full expression of what a husband and wife can do, but it was very perverted. And she had heard him recount his story, and he'd said, well, I went to the board, and he had talked to her a few times, but he never, ever, by what I read, came out and said, what I did was I could have went to prison for her. You know, as a 12-year-old. So now he admits it, so he's not fighting it. So he's, church let him go. But exposure. And exposure from years gone by, because it was never dealt with. Do you know Jesus' blood, he'll cleanse you, but you got to come. You got to come full, you know, full repentance. You say, Pastor, this is not happy stuff. I know, but it is happy. We're on the verge of revival. And God's cleaning up his church. And mature people talk about this stuff in a godly manner. Because I just read to you where Peter said, if you're going to suffer, don't suffer like one of these. Suffer because you taught the gospel in love, but you said, come hell or high water, I'll go to jail. If you tell me I can't say certain things or sin, if I can't say Jesus is blood and he's the way and he's the only way. So he, 100,000 people, he resigned in February of this year. In February of this year, numerous articles surfaced regarding another internationally known minister. And most of you will know right away who I'm talking about. The said minister that founded the movement, that movement has cut off all ties with its founder after concluding accusations of sexual misconduct that they were true. A spokesman explains that what has been happening and what his again, another thing that surfaced from years earlier, sexual activity with a 14-year-old girl years earlier. The said minister, which has run a 24/7 prayer at his base in Kansas City since 1999, has been embroiled in a complex dispute over allegations against their founder since October of 2023. The said minister came to prominence as one of the so-called Kansas City prophets in 1980 and through the 90s. This amorphous group became well known as Christian leaders in the charismatic renewal movement, with a big emphasis on prophecy and recovering of the apostolic leadership and the supernatural. We play a lot of the songs that came out of their ministry. Do you know who I'm talking about? Okay. I'm not happy about that at all. Not in the least. Well, that happened years ago. Why did that now, since that young lady who is a grown woman now has come forward, now multiple, at least I think 8 different women have come forward and said stuff has happened through the years that just wasn't. And I won't belabor this. But do you understand this person is this foundation or this ministry is known worldwide. I mean worldwide. And has done a lot of things, but numerous of their elders and people that were up at the top have now fled. Not just because of disassociation, but from what I understand, the ministry, what was left, is cutting ties with them, as far as I could read. It goes on and on. I want to read from the Word here, so we go out of here happy with the Word. More and more, I won't name his name, but they called him Bishop Bling Bling in New York, the black pastor that was kind of the Hollywood guy who recently, you know, he's just one of those high-profile guys. And now he's serving 9 years in prison. They sentenced him for money embezzlement. His wasn't girls or women that they caught him on. But again, if you're going to suffer, if you're going to go to prison for 9 years, go to prison because you're teaching the gospel. And somebody wants to lock you up. And, you know, we could go on and on and on. I'm trying to bring a relevance. Like, a lot of times you'll hear a prophecy like this, and we'll talk about that judgment is coming to the house of God, and it'll be so ambiguous. Every one of these are big names, people we know and people we have heard of and we use. Obviously, I mean, maybe you don't. Some of you. I stay out of the loop of a lot of things, too, but... last year was when everything blew up with the, how can I say this, the group that originated in Australia, and we loved their worship songs. We still do many of their worship songs. Incredible scandal out of there. Sexual molestations and all kinds of things at the top. What is God doing? He's saying, you're serious about revival to the praying church? Okay. I'm going to step in based on your prayers. Why? One, we don't want those people to go to hell, do we? Secondly, the standard must come back. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I know you're listening, but you're kind of quiet. Now, let me tell you this. There's much more shaking. The shaking's not done. So is there any, but just knowing that, that's five that I gave you. And those are big names that millions, I'm talking about millions of Christians are involved with. The millions. Is there any wonder why America hasn't seen a great outpouring up to this point with all the hidden junk? But God is saying, I'm coming back after a clean white church, and I want to visit my church. There's many more shakings going on. It's going to take place before. What happened to these men? Well, they weren't born again, Pastor. Oh, no, they were born again. Most, I think three of the five or six that I cited were spirit-filled. Did the born-again nature break down? Absolutely not. It can't break down. According to Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen? What was Pastor Dave's classic statement? If you did it, you wanted to. You wanted to. So sin, the new nature didn't break down. And then what about the Holy Ghost? Isn't he a benefit to? Yes. But he has to be employed. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Incredible. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God that on this walk, we've learned a lot of things about how much the Holy Spirit, you know, he says in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also. The likewise is that before he got to the likewise is that your spirit was the first It was the first buffer against sin. It's not the Holy Spirit that makes the stand against sin. He'll reinforce the power of your new nature. But the first buffer that sin meets when it comes, these men, I don't know what it was. Somebody says success. No, success, having, you know, mega churches, maybe they lost their prayer life, I don't know. But success is not the problem. Success only will pour gas on what's there. If I could detach. Yes, I can. You see this? This is a maroon chair. I often call it the maroon typhoon. But I'll tell you what. Until we get our turn, I embrace this. I embrace not the emptiness of the house, but I embrace whatever it takes, spiritually speaking, to get there. And I keep crying out, as you do, God, send whatever. Let the shaking come to us personally, because I don't want to build and build and build. I will say this, and I don't think that this goes out as a warning like I'm trying to scare anybody, and I don't know anybody that necessarily, but if you go here and then you engage here, have your own altar of fire, and especially, and I say this not with even a thought that anybody's really, I wouldn't play here. Because if the top is praying, God, kill me, not kill me, but kill me with fastings, he's going to not stop there. He's going to go all the way through the eldership and leadership. And it doesn't mean you're perfect. By no means. We'll always thank God for the Nunyas, right? He's still working on me. But you don't want to be in a position like one of these guys. Man, I didn't mean to make it so. Oh, I didn't really intend on that. Hallelujah. Well, we're only 6 minutes away, and I'm not going to force the issue. We'll probably, let me just say this. That'll help you. If you haven't in a while, go back and listen to some vintage stuff. Because what vintage stuff? Pastor Dave, it's messages we say now, but it was tapes then, 5-tape series on the basics of fasting. Because I'll just read it to you. Then came to him, and we'll close with this because I don't have time to go into anything else. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often? But thy disciples fast not. They had a good question. Jesus answered and said to them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn? Mourning as in taking up fasting is what he was referring to. As long as the bridegroom is with them. In other words, I'm with them. These 12 are covered by fellowshipping with the bridegroom. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken. We know that has happened. From them, and then they, who's they? The subject matter, the disciples. Shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the new wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, both are preserved. Pastor Dave, you know, he used to call it the power twin, which was fasting. Listen, here's the bottom line. We got to recognize this. The new nature's enough. It really is. But then if the flesh comes up, And it challenges you out of the past, or maybe something that didn't get totally. Because what Jesus identified there, he said, no man would put new wine into old bottles. Now the bottles there, we've taught on this several times before. It wasn't the bottles that we think of bottles. It's wineskins. In fact, the Greek has it as wineskins. And he said, no man would think about doing that. That would be insidious. It wouldn't work. And in other words, why? Because new wine has to ferment. Old skins have, their elasticity has completely gone. They've expanded under the gases of the old so much that there's no expansion. The same was with the cloth, the new cloth, the old garments. You don't put a new cloth on an old shirt because the new will just make the old rend. And in the same way, he just tried to give another example. You don't put the new into the old. Well, that's just what he was going to do. He was about to provide the new wine, which was the born again. He was going to provide an access for the new wine, which was born again, to enter old bottles. Now, we're living in old bottles, and you can't do anything about that. But you can change the complexity of it. I'm not talking about physical here. He said, no man would do that. Well, why? Because the new wine would enter in, and it would expand or it would destroy, and the wine would run out, and exposure. It wouldn't retain it because it doesn't have. But that was the solution. He answered why the disciples of John and the Pharisees, why they were fasting then and his disciples were not. But then he went on to explain the necessity for the age in which we live in. Born again was enough. But oh my God, what if there's something in my wineskin that just keeps aggravating me? I've got access. I've got access to two things, praying in tongues. Well, actually, Word of God helps, confession. But I'm talking about, oh my God, Granny, get your gun. Fasting. It goes straight to the heart of a matter, where the wineskin is thin at. And what Jesus is saying, it's just like you bought a new wineskin to put the new wine in. Both of them will live compatible for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We're not bragging or boasting tonight. And I'm not trying to tell you my mortification walk and that it's top of. I'm just telling you that by His grace, I'm going in. And I believe you're going in. And together we'll receive this outpouring. But all these things that were very sobering that I brought up, let them be an encouragement to say, look, if he's doing that, and those are bad things. Those things don't just happen every day. Those are bad, real. They're far out. So he's not going to come and expose you because certain things that you've got going on that you need to change, you know. Last week, the lie that you told, or the person that you got mad at and probably cussed some, you're not going to be exposed. Things that destroy people's lives. These preachers come to an end. 30 years. It was amazing on all three of them, about three or four of them. God waited about 30 years and said, that's enough. My body's got to receive this outpouring. But aren't we excited about where we're headed? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we know we've taught on a sobering issue, and we have more scripture here to give. But we're going in, and we're so thankful for the power of the new nature. And then the additives that you gave, the Holy Spirit, the baptism of tongues, and fasting for the believer, and your word as well. So, Father, carry us in joy and peace. And I thank God. I thank God that I go to this church. Hallelujah. With all these believers and those that are watching. Let's keep each other up in prayer. If any man has a fault, we're supposed to restore one another with meekness, considering our brothers, our sisters, lest we also be tempted. So we don't do anything in boasting, but we do everything that we do by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love you. If you have an offering tonight, give it when you're going out the door. And thank you for those that give online. God bless you.